Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ravens win 27-19. They've won three in a row, and they're a game back of first place Pittsburgh in the AFC North. Let's go out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, joins us now. And Jonas, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start with the defense. Is the defense good, or does J.J. McCarthy stink, or is this a combination? Where are you on this defense?
I'm of the mind that this is just the defense getting improved against a pretty lackluster group of quarterbacks. I mean, when I, you know, wrote the like a game preview a couple weeks ago or last week, it was like the Ravens don't force a lot of turnovers, but boy, look at the quarterbacks who are coming up on their schedule. And you had Tua Tagovailoa, who was, you know, near the top of the PFF list in turnover worthy play rate, followed by J.J. McCarthy, also at the top, and Dylan Gabriel, I think, might be worse than both of them. So yeah. I think we've seen that play out in all the best ways for Ravens fans and all the worst ways for fans of the other teams. And, you know, obviously I still have some questions about the run defense, still questions about the pass rush, but I do think that the coverage ability that we saw on Sunday, you know, is no joke. Like, these guys can hang up in coverage, whether it's in zone or man, as long as it's not a, you know, a 4-second kind of scramble play. So is this defense, you know, does it have the ceiling that last year's did? I don't think so, but I do think that we can't at least give them some credit where it's due and say, hey, you know, you guys have done a good enough job considering your various obvious limitations.
Yeah, that's where I was going, Jonas, talking about the secondary, where you held Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison in check. I get it. Nine stinks and contributed to that. But the secondary, bad. And in particular, Malachi Starks, it seems like he's playing with a lot more confidence since the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously, make of what you will with PFF grades, but I believe they had him as the highest graded Ravens defender from yesterday's game. You know, he's I think, you know, John Harbaugh acknowledged that it's a bit of a different speed going from, you know, college safety to NFL safety, just because of how much ground you have to cover, different kind of hash marks, that kind of thing. And you know, the kind of log line with Malachi for, man, I guess as far back as training camp has been, he never makes the same mistake twice. And my frustration with that was that it seemed like, you know, a couple of weeks ago he was finding new ways to make mistakes and put himself in bad spots. But it seems like, you know, for now at least, knock on wood, that corner has been turned and he's been finding ways to make impactful plays. And, you know, the Ravens have been completely cut down on the number of downfield shots that they've given up. But I do think it has come down somewhat, and that's, I think, a big credit to him and his partnership with Loie Gilman, and just this pass rush and the secondary getting a little bit better at a time they absolutely needed to.
Weird game offensively. We're not going to you know, go crazy picking nits because they won in a loud, crazy place against a defense that's blitzes a lot and is pretty good. But I just, like, as much as part of me kind of wants to give the offensive line some credit and that Lamar didn't get killed, I just also feel like they have zero faith in their ability to do anything with all these potential playmakers downfield because they just, there's such a lack of trust in this offensive line. And I feel like for good reason, like I almost feel like they've had to completely recalibrate who they even aspire to be as a downfield passing offense because they don't trust these five guys.
Yeah. I mean, I forgot to check it like right at halftime, but I think they probably had maybe like one explosive pass play, explosive play period over the first 20, 25 minutes of that first half. And it was like that, you know, 16-yard completion to Zay Flowers. Even that one was kind of behind Zay. And obviously that is a reflection of that from the Ravens, and Lamar knew that he had to be more of a caretaker than a playmaker. I don't think the Ravens probably expected J.J. McCarthy to throw two interceptions and almost a third, but the ball in harm's way. We need you to be smart with the ball. We need you to be, you know, mindful of just how we're going to have to win this game. And, you know, it wasn't pretty. There were, again, more three and outs than you would like to see. Some of the short yardage failures were disappointing. The red zone setbacks were, again, an issue. I think at some point that will regress in a positive way just because of the kind of talent that the Ravens have at tight ends and Lamar and being able to extend plays. And we've seen Todd Monken find ways to kind of turn things around. But, you know, if and when the team gets to the playoffs, you're going to have to be able to like convert those red zone opportunities at like a 75-80% clip, or otherwise you're just not going to give yourself an opportunity with this defense to win the games that really, really matter.
Talking with Jonas Schaefer, Inside Access here on The Fan. Let's get to the injuries. Jonas Harbs telling us Bateman's got an ankle. He was seen with a boot on after the game in the locker room. Marlon, a finger issue, might need surgery. Do you expect either of these guys to play against the Browns on Sunday?
It sounds like Marlon, you know, is obviously just more of a personal decision with how he feels and how that finger feels. Like, he told us post-game that he didn't really think he'd be able to make that interception that he did, considering the state of his finger. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to see how Bateman was moving post-game, so I don't really have a good answer for you there. But obviously, you know, I don't know. I want to say that you can take a chance resting him against Cleveland, but it's not like that Browns defense struggled on Sunday. I mean, they lost holding the Jets to, what, 175 yards of total offense, something like that. So you definitely don't want a repeat of what happened in Cleveland last year with Jameis leading the troops there. So, you know, if you got to rest Bateman, I think you got to rest Bateman and let that high ankle sprain. You don't want that to be something that lingers because of you rushing him back to the field. So I would say it's probably more likely Bateman than Marlon that he misses that next game.
Jonas, the Lamar to Bateman connection last year was really, really good, and the downfield passing offense was very present. But this year, it's been non-existent. There's only been five pass attempts on balls that have traveled beyond 20 yards of the line of scrimmage to Rashad Bateman this year, and now he's banged up with the ankle sprain. Do you think we just don't see a downfield passing offense the rest of the way, in part because of the offensive line struggles?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a big deal. I can't really remember a performance by the O-line specifically on dropback, like deep shot or would-be deep shot, that was as disappointing as yesterday's, like, especially compared to what Minnesota was able to get, at least in terms of like the ample time and space for nine in that pocket. Like, I know the Ravens got a lot of hits on J.J. McCarthy, and Lamar obviously did not take a lot of hits. Good thing for him, but it just felt like every single time the Ravens were dialing up some play action drop back, it was someone getting into his grill from that interior or from the edge. And, you know, that was the bread and butter for the Ravens on their downfield passing game last year. It was, you need this run game and this play action game to set up these big play deep shots to Rashad Bateman. So it's definitely been a disappointing year for him. I thought, based on what we saw in training camp, where, you know, he had practices where he was catching 7-8 passes and connecting downfield with Lamar, that we would see more of that. But we've seen a total inversion, because it's been Zay Flowers, who was, again, you know, kind of quiet and disappointing in training camp, who's had the season that we all maybe expected from, that we all thought we would get from him based on what he did last year.
You buying new and improved special teams?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still, you know, every Tyler Loop kick, whether it's 30 yards or 55 yards, feels like a heart in the throat moment. He's just kind of really playing with fire there with how closely some of those balls are skirting past the uprights. But Jordan Stout looks like a dude. You know, Keandre Jackson's been a bit of a revelation. It was interesting that they moved LaJonte Wester to the kick return spot for some of those second half reps yesterday. I'm not sure if that was in response to the Jay Higgins injury and how they needed to reconfigure everything, but that was interesting. And, you know, I think it's definitely better than last year's. I don't know if it's going to finish in the top five as it so regularly did under John Harbaugh, but it's just this group has to be a group that doesn't lose them games, which was the case for the, you know, that Ravens team last year. And so far, I don't think you can really point to this team, to these special teams, as being you know, an Achilles heel for them in any games this year.
Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. If we don't get to talk to you again, enjoy Cleveland.
Guys, I'm disappointed. No, you didn't give me the opportunity.
You want to talk about your Terps?
Yeah. Part of the double debacle? Yeah. Your floor is yours.
I don't want to be like the numbers dork, but and I want to give Buzz Williams credit for some time to turn things around. But it's like, he's never really been a great defensive coach. His offense is always kind of consisted of just throwing the ball at the rim and hoping guys rebound it. And when you don't have the requisite athletes, I think you just kind of see how meandering and puttering this offense could be. And that's kind of disappointing, because obviously in the portal era, it's pretty easy to turn things around quickly. And I don't know what the Maryland money situation is, which is obviously the elephant in the room in football and basketball, but it just feels like it was a very, very ominous start to what could be a very long 23-24-esque Willard season for Buzz there.
What about football?
Yeah. I mean, God, who knows what the deal is there? Who knows what Jim Smith has working behind the scenes? But I have obviously started to look around and poke around on message boards and see what the fans are saying for the next Maryland coach. And some of the names are interesting, but I still want to give Locks a little bit of opportunity to maybe turn things around. But if he loses guys at the portal and Zion Ely says, no thanks, I'm going to South Carolina or Auburn, then it's going to be pretty tough.
I got one for you, Jonas.
Remain committed to him.
What about Todd Effenmunkin?
I don't think Todd has a lot of interest in going back to the college game.
I mean, was at Georgia?
Yeah, as a coordinator. Does he want to be a head coach of a college football team?
If these Bobo billionaires won't hire him, I'm just saying.
But the Bobo billionaires are paying him a very hearty sum to be offensive coordinator.
Not as much as about college coach.
Maryland's a men's soccer school, guys.
Hey, Sasho's coming on tomorrow, baby. Don't think we don't know it. I'll be watching Wednesday night.
I think he cursed me out once upon a time during my Diamondback days. I don't know.
Really?
I'll tell you guys later.
Oh, wow.
Buzz, I've never seen that side
Buzz
of
seemed to be, for everything else, Buzz seemed to be much more interested in learning the student reporters' names than Kevin Willard ever did. I saw he stopped to ask everybody their names the other night.
Yeah. He's an eccentric guy, so I guess I'll give him credit for that much. But we'll see.
Thanks, Jonas.
Jonas and Sasha. Yeah. Maybe you can call in tomorrow. What are you doing at 3 o'clock tomorrow?
You want to talk to Sasha?
He's gone. He's gone. Yeah. Enough of our reindeer
games. That's good. Five. Well, by the way, Cordell Woodland's going to join us at 5. I don't think he'll have any Sasha stories. But coming up next, let's get back to the Ravens and their secondary. Was this the best game of the year from the guys on the back end? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Arc Raiders.
a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ravens were able to slow down the Vikings offense. Well, some of that might have been due to the quarterback, but Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson combined for 7 catches for 72 yards on 23 targets. They got a couple interceptions. Was this the best game from the Ravens secondary of this season?
I think it was. It's on the road. It's crazy. It's a tough place to play. That's a team that's loaded with quality offensive players, skill players. And look, the offensive lines had their issues, but both starting tackles played.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback has his issues, but he just won at Ford Field, which not a lot of people do.
9.
And do I think a weird play calling day for the Vikings had something to do with it? And 9... You know,
arm punting,
playing like a different number, maybe playing like number 2. If you catch my drift,
yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. Picking all up what you're putting down.
Had something
wondering where
to do
I was going with that.
But I mean, you could add Hawkinson to that list of not total nothing burger.
Yeah.
I mean, when he shows up, the game's essentially over, and you're conceding underneath stuff because if they don't beat you deep, they're not coming back. If Wiggins makes a play on a ball in the back of the end zone and doesn't give up, I think it would really stand out.
Yeah, he thought the receiver stepped out of bounds. He did not.
The play was dead.
Yeah.
Which is a lesson learned. And better to learn it there than, you know, on a snowy night in Buffalo in January or something like that, 3 months from now.
Well, good luck to Buffalo having a home game.
I thought Marlon battled. Marlon made a huge interception on single coverage with no safety help on a, you know, deep post to Jefferson. And he hung with him, and he came down with the ball. That's not easy. That's a big deal. Starks is stringing together weeks where he's not just along for the ride, but he's making plays, and he's looking exceedingly comfortable, and he and Gilman are forming quite a tandem. That's huge. To go on the road, get an interception against that team, big deal. I mean, Hamilton all over the – tipping balls, impacting
great.
The quarterback, scaring the quarterback, like around the line of scrimmage, big deal.
I can remember being at training camp this summer, and I was having a conversation with a couple people, and the debate was, who's going to have a bigger impact on this football team, Jaire Alexander or Chidobe Awuzie? Jaire Alexander is no longer here.
And well, he had a bigger impact for the negative.
Yes, but Chidobe Awuzie played his rear end off yesterday.
He's been good. I don't know why he wasn't playing more in the fourth quarter in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There's some things that make you scratch your head. And I think getting Alexander out of their building was addition by subtraction. I don't care what you got for him. And they do have depth and quality at corner. Now, look, you have to play without Marlon for 2 or 3 weeks. Not great, but if you're doing it against Dylan Gabriel and Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor,
yeah,
you better win those games.
Yes.
Anyway.
When targeted in that game yesterday, Awuzie 0 for 4. J.J. McCarthy went targeting him. That's really, really impressive. And on the season, 15 for 29, so almost a 50% completion percentage against Awuzie. That has been a really good signing. Look, but when you hold the combination of Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hockenson to 80 yards.
Crazy.
Hats off.
That's the best.
And with a ton of volume, in particular to Jefferson and Addison, that's 23 targets between.
Well, and even McCarthy, he's got the 61-yarder when Marlon falls down to Naylor down the left side early in the game. And then even then, I mean, like the numbers look okay, almost 250 passing yards. The bulk of it's coming in garbage time.
Yes. By the way, speaking of garbage, Chidobe Awuzie got called for a garbage PI in that game. That was an atrocious call down the sideline. Alas, Ravens win the game 27-19. The Ravens passing game, not good. What did we think about what we saw there? And what's it say that they were still able to win a game handily when Lamar Jackson doesn't have to put on the cape? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Extremely important, you know, especially in our division. You know, we play these type of games a lot. Hopefully we're not in these type of games, but we got to get used to it, get accustomed to it.
Lamar Jackson talking about a bit of a rock fight offensively yesterday, though they win 27-19. For his part, Lamar Jackson 17-29 for 175 yards, one touchdown, still no interception. He doesn't throw interceptions anymore. So not a great game from Lamar. What did you think about the passing game yesterday?
I think it left a lot to be desired, and I think, again, as we just talked about with Jonas, I think a lot of it has to do with some serious trust issues with the offensive line, and I think it's for a good reason. But you can't tell me that they haven't recalibrated their what they aspire to be and what we've seen them do in the past. I mean, Lamar's back. He's healthy. He played a game that he was rusty, and then he had 9 days off. I get it. That's a good team on the road, but we've seen them take this show. They did transformational things as an offense we've never seen before. And I get it. They're not running the ball quite as well as they did before, so maybe some of that bleeds into the passing game. But there was such a lack of aspiration to even be a downfield passing game. And I'm not talking 40 yards downfield. I'm talking 20. Like, you can't tell me that this hasn't been sort of bled into them by what they've seen on film, by what their self-scout must say about that group up front. Like, Ricard's been back for a while now. You got the full complement of tight ends. You're able to get big and bring in plenty of extra people to chip and help. And even knowing all that, there's not even a three-card Monty feint. Like, they're not pushed. And this has been all year. They're not throwing a few deepies to Bateman, even if you don't think it's going to get home, just to show it. I just feel like there's been a real de-evolution of what they aspire to be as a pass offense. And I think that's here to stay.
Yesterday was still a heck of a lot different than what we saw the rest of the season, and the numbers bear it out. And we spent so much time last week building up, okay, this is a huge road environment here. What could the pre-snap penalties look like? They only had one, yeah, and the Vikings had eight false starts, but we never really got to see how the offensive line could hold up because Lamar was just getting rid of the ball really quick. And NFL Next Gen stats, their quick pass is less than 2.5 seconds. He threw a quick pass on 65.5% of his attempts against the Vikings. Second highest rate of his career. He didn't throw a pass 20 air yards or more downfield. And Brian Flores, he blitzed the heck out of him like we thought he would. 58% of the time, that was his fifth highest rate of Lamar's career.
And look, even against Miami, which there's no home field advantage, it's a Ravens home game, and it's a lesser defense. And I get it, he's coming off injury, but like, dude, at halftime, that was abject failure. Like, their yards per play. And then they start running the ball in the second half, and Lamar hits likely on a busted play. But like, there was no downfield within the construct of what's called, right? Not Lamar being Lamar 4, 5, 6 Mississippi. They weren't beating Miami with downfield passes.
And yesterday specifically, and I'm not a shrink, but I'll play one on the radio for a minute. And I don't know how much downfield passing he would have done beyond this, but I think those drops early really affected him. I thought he was in a funk for most of the first half. Remember, you had the Zay Flowers on the first first series, three and out, went through his hands. And then back-to-back Andrews, which would have had them in the red zone, and then Likely, which is probably a first down. I think they score on that drive if Andrews catches that ball, and Likely gets the first down. They probably score a touchdown on that drive too. So after that, I thought he was in a funk until that last drive of the first half, where they got that field goal.
They just could never get in a rhythm. And part of it was they were just so bad on third down, where they were 2 for 7. The red zone instances, they just couldn't punch the ball in. And you settled for 3 field goals in the first half. They just were never able to get in a rhythm.
I just wonder how much the, like, and we've all, and we're going to continue to debate how much better is the defense and how much do we buy it. And it's better, but they've also seen this defense melt down in critical fourth quarter situations over and over and over. So if you're Monken and you're Lamar, you got that in the back of your mind. You got an offensive line that you know is not very good in the back of your mind. And like, sometimes when they're saying stuff and it becomes a mantra, they doth protest too much. Sometimes they're just keeping it real. We need more offensive plays. We need to hold the ball longer. No, I think that's true. I think they need that even more than they need explosives right now. And if the defense is bend, don't break, that's fine. If they take a whole bunch of time themselves, if they take 8 minutes to score 3 points, I think this version of the Ravens team is fine with that as well. And if the Ravens take 8 minutes to score 3 points, like, it's not great. We'd like to be better in the red zone, but we can't run the ball in the red zone, but we can run it between the 20s. So if that's what it is sometimes, that's okay. We can live with that too. Like, I kind of feel like that's what they are, and that's kind of who they're going to be. And at least if they're, because remember, that we've seen games this year where they've literally ran 40 plays on offense.
Yeah.
So like, if this is what it's got to be, I'll take it, and that'll keep Lamar upright, and that'll limit the chances of him getting hurt because he's not running as much and he's not 7 Mississippi in the pocket as much. So the wins are going to be more workmanlike than I think they're going to be these coronations of like offensive wizardry.
Should they be heartened at all, though, that they were able to win a game and win it handily in on a day when Lamar was not superstar? They're in a tough road environment. Like, that's a tough place to play. Minnesota's defense did show up. They, like, should they feel, because like more often than not, Lamar will put the cape on again at some point this year, but he did not yesterday.
If they make the playoffs, if they win the division, they're going to win multiple more games like this. You have You have five games in the division left, and we'll get into Cleveland as the week progresses, and Dylan Gabriel stinks and all. It wouldn't surprise me if this is a similar type game where they have to grind it out in Cleveland. We haven't seen them.
Well, they don't play great in Cleveland. Yeah.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, you don't owe anybody any explanation. Like, there's no apologies requested, nor should any be given. It was a nice quality road win. When you don't get as many explosives and people can squat on some stuff underneath and you've got to really earn it, you're probably going to end up turning the ball over more than you did in this game. So like, that's the other factor. Now that it's harder to get as many offensive plays, it's harder to hold the balls long when you invariably give it away. You're running a lot of plays going between 3 and 7 yards, which is kind of what they were between the runs and the passes. It will generally lend itself to some problems. It didn't here. And yeah, I think this is how they're constructed. I think they're keeping it simple, stupid, and they're playing it safe because they don't trust what they have up front. And this week, coming up, you're going on the road, and it's not as good of a team, and it's probably not going to be as loud, but they've got a Myles Garrett.
Yes, they do. And he did his best to wreck the game here before that game got out of control.
So if you cobble your way to 27-ish points and there's a lot of field goals in the process, but you keep Lamar upright and you limit the risk, the true risk-reward plays that he has to run in the process, including design runs, I think they'll all sign up for that right now.
And a lot of this against these lesser teams, Browns, Jets, the next couple of weeks, this offense going 3 straight weeks without any turnovers. Just don't beat yourself. Yep. Don't give them life.
By the way, they play the Jets the week after this. The Jets just announced Garrett Wilson's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. So not that they're throwing the ball around anyway, but he's their best weapon in the passing game, and now he will not play in that Ravens game.
I think Breece Hall's their best weapon in the passing
game. Yeah, well, yeah, the running, yes. But best wide receiver weapon, I should say. Garrett Wilson has shown up in games in the past, just not very recently. Coming up next, Ravens are only game back in the division because the Steelers, they got beat down by the Chargers Sunday Night Football. We'll recap a Northern Exposure, touch on the Browns a little bit as well. It's Northern Exposure next here on The Fan.
How would you assess Aaron's performance tonight?
How would you?
Next.
So the question posed to Mike Tomlin is, how would you describe Aaron Rodgers' performance last night? And he responded with a question of his own. You heard it after staring down for a minute. Aaron Rodgers was 15 of 31 for 151 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. The Chargers, this was a 3-2 Steelers lead after one quarter. Chargers win 25-10. The Steelers defense showed up for a bit. Their offense was awful, in large part because Aaron Rodgers was awful. And Jason, for the first time last night, I thought he looked a combination of old, slow, and scared.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be hit. He didn't want to sit in the pocket. That, like, this was bad.
It was ugly.
And I don't know that 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers is going to get in the way back machine at any point.
No, it's going to get worse from here. Look, he's hitting the wall. Like, these guys. Did you see Jacoby Brissett last? I know Seattle's got a good defense, but I mean, he was all mashugana from the giddy up, not handling the ball.
It's an Italian word.
Worried, sped up. I mean, when you're closer to the end, way closer to the end than the beginning, it happens. I mean, look, this Ravens defense is scaring people. You saw Flacco with limited weapons around him here, without him go on the road here. And that was a home game for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Don't mistake.
Oh, yeah.
But he went on the road here and was That's the worst he's played all season. So now you got Rodgers on the road against a good defense, knowing, okay, they're taking away Metcalf and nobody else wins for me downfield, and I don't really want to push it downfield anyway. And, oh, we're behind in the game, so I can't just give it to Warren every down. I mean, it is what it is. He's not good. Like, he can't win you games. He's there not to lose you games. And when you're already down early and he's got to try to help you win it, it's just...
You got no shot.
It's not going to happen. Not against a decent opponent. I mean...
And Jason, he can't push the ball downfield anymore. He was 0-for-5 on passes 15 yards downfield. He had DK Metcalf butt naked for an easy touchdown and missed him there. But this stat's crazy. The last three games for the Steelers on offense, third down, 5-for-33. 5-for-30. You're not sustaining drives. You're putting your defense right back out there. And if your defense doesn't get you 6 turnovers, you can't score.
No, look, they have to play with a lead. They have to have a ball. Like, Mike Tomlin would love to run the ball old school 58% of the time if he could. This game script, that went out the window.
Warren was having some success early.
Yeah, but, I mean, what do you, you get down 2 scores in the second half. What are you going to do? They didn't make mincemeat of Herbert the way I thought they might, given the Chargers tackle situation. Vidal controlled the game, I felt like, and the Steelers couldn't let that happen, but he did. I thought it'd be an ugly field goal type game. It was. The Chargers kicker was better. The Chargers quarterback was better. The Chargers got to play with a first half lead. Whoever got that, somebody got up more than 8 points, 2 scores. It was going to be trouble for the other team. The Chargers were that team, and they were able to do it in the first half.
If the Steelers don't get turnovers, they can't score. There was like 5 minutes left in the game. They had 3 points, and it was on a 60-yard field goal. Yeah. Like that's where they are offensively.
They didn't convert their first third down until garbage time in the fourth quarter.
So they're 5-4. These are their next 4 games. Let's just go in 4 game increments. They host the Bengals this weekend. Then they're at the Bears, home to the Bills, at the Ravens. Like 500 at best, are we looking at for that 4 game stretch?
You guys know every time it looks
Steelers
like they're
money
dead.
Line.
Steelers money line.
Steelers money line.
No, I don't know about that. I'm not.
Are we putting that
to
bed?
Steelers money. No, the only thing I was on last night was both teams to have a field goal of 33 yards or longer, and the under plus over 3.5 made field goals. So I had that game dead to nuts. I wasn't going back to Steelers as much as a lot of the trends
Churchill
would tell you
that.
To. But, like, will the Steelers beat the Bills in some super ugly game, especially if we get
Colts.
A snowstorm?
Yeah.
They totally could. Like, I mean.
They're 5.5 point favorites against Cincy.
I mean, I would tend to want to go over there because everybody moves the ball in Cincy, but, like, yeah. I don't know.
Well,
I probably
Aaron Rodgers,
won't do anything with
Hendrickson
that game.
Won't play in that game, it sounds like. It said they've already declared him doubtful.
I mean,
is he going to play again this year?
I wouldn't. I mean, I don't think he's in a hurry to. So, like, the Steelers will hang around. They'll win a game they're not supposed to win. I can't think they get swept by the Bengals. I mean,
I would think they.
That would be really.
I'm kind of torn. If you're a Ravens fan, don't you want the Steelers to beat the Bengals because you want to put the Bengals to bed so Joe Burrow doesn't come back? Like, isn't that like? I guess that's just the way my mind processes.
Yeah, no, I would think that's probably.
Because if they're at 8 or 9 losses, are you really bringing Joe Burrow back? Especially you bringing him back early.
I wouldn't think so. It would not make much sense to, but.
I'm with you, though. It would definitely be a surprise if Joe Flacco and the Bengals sweep the Steelers. And if that happens, then the sky could really be
like,
for them.
Are the Bengals going to run the ball for 100 yards in the first half against them
again?
And set all that stuff up?
I wouldn't think so.
Like, is Watt going to do nothing in that game? Like, remember, he didn't do anything in that game until he got the sack on the second to last series. And then Flacco still ended up winning the game after that. Like, Is that really going to go? Like, is that going to happen twice? I don't, boy.
For people who may not know, I should explain what I was saying. Joe Burrow practiced today, and they opened his window. He's got his 21-day window is now open, and he says he should be back Thanksgiving-ish. Quickly, we should touch on the Browns. They lost to a team whose quarterback threw for 54 yards yesterday as the Jets beat the Browns 27-20.
Well, I mean, it was another one of those games where you watch the first half and Dylan Gabriel's like 6 of 13 for like 52 yards. I mean, that's just like, that's who they are. And then they get behind some and the other team plays a little bit more of a shell. And then they let the little guy, they feel sorry for the little guy. They let him complete some underneath passes and somebody misses a tackle. So they end up scoring. But I mean, it is. To pretend that this guy should be any, like, he wouldn't even be my backup. He should be in the UFL in the spring, like figuring some stuff out. The fact that they keep running him out there, Stefanski, like he saw what McDaniel did to try to get fired. He's like, I can do better than that. you thought benching Tua would get you fired. I'm going to keep playing Dylan Gabriel until they fire me. Like, stop.
I'm as big an Oregon fan as you probably know. I told you guys this summer his ceiling is backup quarterback. Like, that's his ceiling. He's not an NFL starting quarterback.
Is there any shot he gets benched this week?
They said, no, he's already trying to get fired.
Right after the game, he's like, no, I'm not even going to play word games. Like, well, think about it. No, this is our guy.
Dylan Gabriel's
this
our guy.
This is our guy.
When we come back, Cordell Woodland.
Hey, Dion, I'm never playing your kid.
Yeah. Cordell Woodland's our guy. What did he think about the Ravens win yesterday? Well, to ask him as he joins us next here on The Fan.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.